plate a potential nugget.
And just picking up on one of the things you said, Bill, I used to be a recruiter in my previous life. What I was amazed by was the attention to detail in the process in terms of independence of the different conversations versus building on the past. In a sense, in one of the sections of the book, you talk about the fact that initial few conversations actually are independent observations of the candidate, but the bar raiser gets all the context and then sort of pressure tests some of the specific things that he or she needs to probe. Do you want to talk a little bit about the way the selection process is structured to bring out the best decision?
Yeah, so the Amazon hiring process is called the bar raiser process. And I already mentioned two of the notable things. One is that the criteria on interviewers are assigned specific data to collect, and the data are about the leadership principles. The next thing is that those interviewers have to actually document the interview in great detail. They actually take furious notes while interviewing, literally documenting the questions and the answers. And then after the interview, they need to write up a quick summary and an assessment. And then the next part of the process that's notable is that there's an in-person or virtual, in today's day and age, debrief meeting among the interview panelists after the interview, where all those notes are then shared, people read through them all, and then a discussion ensues. The person who runs that debrief meeting is the bar raiser. The bar raiser is a subject matter expert in the hiring process at Amazon and the interviewing process. And they were one of the people on the interview loop, but they were not someone who, they can't be the hiring manager, and they can't be in the hiring manager's direct reporting structure. So they're independent. And they their job is really just to make sure that the hiring manager and the panelists are following the process, are using the right criteria, the leadership principles, and that they are not subject to certain biases, whether those biases be personal biases about what a certain manager likes or doesn't like in a person or a candidate. Those are not important. What's important is how the person stacks up to the Amazon leadership principles. Or the most nefarious bias in the hiring process, which is urgency bias. If you're a hiring manager and you have six openings in your department and you need to hire those six people to hit your goals, well, your hair is on fire to hire those people. And the longer it takes, the harder it is for you to hit your goals. So if you find a so-so candidate, it's very easy to talk yourself into saying, this person's good enough, I'm going to hire them. But you will deeply regret that decision later when it turns out that so-so person is worse than so-so and becomes a low performer. And then the amount of time and effort you will spend to coach, try to save that person, or ultimately work them out of the organization will vastly exceed the time that would have been required to simply discard that candidate and move on to the next candidate to find someone who actually meets or exceeds the bar for the role.
That's a great point, actually. When I think about how we would hold the bar raiser accountable, I would imagine there would be a tendency to be a little over stringent on the filtering and therefore, possibly hurt the business. So how did Amazon manage that tension?
Amazon managed that tension by stating overtly to say, yep, there are going to be some false negatives. So you have a choice, right, in a hiring process. Are you going to bias towards false positive? A false positive means you said yes to hiring someone, but that was a false choice. That person really wasn't mm-hmm. a good hire. Or mm-hmm. you can choose to have false negatives, meaning, yep, that person would have been a good hire, but we said no because we weren't sure. And so most companies operate in a false positive mode, and Amazon operates in a false negative mode where you are taught and you learn that sometimes you are going to pass on someone because you're not sure and you might have made a mistake. They might have been successful, but we're going to err on that side versus the other side. And so it's important to state that explicitly. And in doing so, guess what that requires? Long-term thinking. Because again, if all you have to do is step back for 1 minute and say, if we make a bad hire here, how much time will you as the hiring manager lose and waste on dealing with that bad hire, or the team lose and waste on dealing with working alongside someone who is a low performer, versus how much time it will take you just to keep looking and interviewing and hire someone who meets the bar? That's easy math, in fact.
Given I spent about 6 years in recruiting at a Gonzender, this topic was of specific interest to me. I feel there are three big insights worth reflecting on based on how Amazon recruits. First, is a great combination of independence and interdependence that exists in the process. Initial rounds of conversations with the candidates happen as independent conversations. That is, each interviewer doesn't know what the other interviewers think about the candidate. Plus, they're often given specific areas to probe. At some level, you have mutually exclusive but collectively exhaustive data at the end of rounds of interviews. But having said that, I do think there's a lot of value in pressure testing hypotheses based on interviews. And Amazon does this beautifully by getting the bar raiser to gather context and views from earlier conversations and building on it. I do think this combination of independence and interdependence is a great recipe for good people going through the funnel. The second piece is about having a bar raiser run a meeting to take the final call. When I go back to my Gonzender days, I was reminded of a particular instance where I was doing the country head search for an instrumentation company. The Asia Pacific head was a hiring manager, and we'd got him to meet three very good candidates for the search. After meeting the three, as we sat down to debrief, he said, "You've delivered 50% of the value by getting three good candidates in the pipeline. Now deliver the remaining 50% by helping us make the right choice." And that somehow stuck with me. I know he said this in a sort of a facetious way, but the crux of the point is decision-making in recruiting is a reasonably subjective process. And I think there is value in being thoughtful about how you're making decisions. And sometimes this process gets brushed away. And in the case of Amazon, it's great to see that the bar raiser convenes the meeting and ensures that the right discussion is had and the right decision is made. The third piece that struck me from what Bill said was about the notion of trade-offs. You know, Bill speaks about type 1 and type 2 errors in the context of recruiting. The risk of hiring a misfit being one, risk of missing out on a good fit being the other. Very few companies truly understand the full cost of a wrong hire. Even if they do, they don't empower somebody to take the right long-term call without guilt. Amazon's bar raiser process, the way it's designed, is a competitive advantage indeed when you look at the long game.